Hey everyone, Tanzina Vega with you, and one more story this hour on The Takeaway. Images of Yalitza Aparicio on the cover of Vogue Mexico's January issue have already made the rounds on social media, and the results are stunning. Aparicio plays Cleo in Alfonso Cuarón's Roma, and the film is Aparicio's first. But it's not the first time a woman of color has broken through in the film industry by playing a maid.
I sincerely hope I shall always be a credit to my race and to the motion picture industry. My heart is too full to tell you just how I feel. And may I say thank you and God bless you.
That was actress Hattie McDaniel accepting the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress in 1940 for her role as Mammy in Gone with the Wind. On the day she accepted her Oscar, McDaniel had to get special permission to enter into the segregated venue where the ceremony was held in Los Angeles. She was then forced to sit at a small table in the back of the room while her white co-star sat up front at the Gone with the Wind table. So nearly 80 years later, the release of Roma got me wondering, has the film industry fully embraced women of color as more than just the help? And why did it take this film for us to see, or at least me, for the first time, to see an indigenous woman grace the cover of one of the most revered fashion magazines in the world? Joining me now to discuss is Soraya McDonald, culture critic for ESPN's The Undefeated. Great to have you back, Soraya.
Thank you.
I don't want to start by saying all women of color enter Hollywood as the help, but we often have. What do you think about, why are these stories the ones that we're often tasked with telling?
There is a prevalent sort of trope of women of color playing maids or mammies or some sort of domestic help from the beginning of Hollywood, basically. And you see this celebrated with Hattie McDaniel's Oscar win for Gone with the Wind. But also around that same time was an actress named Madame Sultawan, who actually had a part that was eventually like excised from the final cut of Birth of a Nation. And then after her, you see Louise Beavers and Nell Carter playing Beulah. So this trope comes up over and over again. You see it a lot with Black women, and you can sort of trace that back to Uncle Tom's Cabin and the character of Aunt Cleo. But you also see this with Latina women as well. You know, more recently, you could say, you know, one of Jennifer Lopez's like breakout film roles was Made in Manhattan. But even before her, Lupe Ontiveros played, I think, at least 150 different roles as maids, and just found it so difficult to break out of that typecasting.
And it was like maids, and Lupe was like a maid or like wiser old abuelita.
Right.
Similar to the way Black women are perceived as wise, you know, sassy Black woman friend and or help. And I just wonder, these roles, there's a weird tension here, right? Because these roles on the one hand have given women of color the opportunity to be in front of the camera. But I thought Hattie McDaniel's example was just so powerful, because at the same time, we're at the table, but literally she was not at the table. So where are we today with this? I mean, I want to bring up Viola Davis after what she said after doing The Help, because, and I'm quoting here, she said, at the end of the day, it wasn't the voices of the maids that were heard.
Who is telling the story and the perspective of the storytelling has a big difference on what we see and how these people are perceived. So a lot of times what's so troubling about these tropes is that these women are basically used as a springboard for another white character to come to some sort of personal realization. And so the story is really all about them. And these women of color basically function as accessories in their story. What's different about Roma is that it is really sort of centrally focused on Yalitza's character. And we are sort of processing what's happening in her life and the way the family that she works for basically sort of treats her as furniture. But we're not sort of being directed to identify with the family. We're being directed to identify with her character.
Right, and using the stories of Black women to do that.
Exactly.
Right? And when you say the Black women who helps the white character sort of come to this realization, I immediately thought of Sex and the City, the film, and sort of how that, you know, she was not a maid, but she was employed to help, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker's character get her life together, right?
Exactly, which sort of feeds into sort of a larger, like, magical Negro trope, which is basically, like, that's the sort of wise, sage Black person who's able to help this main white character in whatever
capacity.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's funny that you bring up Sex and the City, because as I was looking back yesterday, I don't know if you remember, there was one episode where Samantha has this boyfriend who has an Asian housekeeper named Som. And she is portrayed as being extremely deferential to him, almost like worshiping him, right? But she hates Samantha. And so, you know, that dynamic is not much better. In that case, she's Asian, and she's basically sort of portrayed as this, like, angry, inscrutable Asian woman who is also manipulative, right? Because she's cruel to Samantha, like, behind the boyfriend's back.
All the dangerous stereotypes.
Exactly, right? She's a liar, she's manipulative, she's all of these things, and is basically sort of touching on these underlying fears about, like, women of color coming in and not knowing their place and perhaps sort of sneaking in and, like, stealing, you know.
Being uppity, perhaps.
Being uppity, right.
But I'm wondering, and a couple years ago for the New York Times, I did a story on Eva Longoria's show at the time, which was Devious Maids, where there were five maids, five Latina maids, and it was such an uproar after that. I talked to Eva about the decision to do that, and part of it was they were maids in character, but their characters were also really professionals, you know, behind, they were sort of posing as maids, and really most of them were attorneys and all this other plot twisting. I guess what I'd like to end with the question is there reality in the near future where women of color won't have to portray the help on the big screen in order to somehow get into Hollywood?
So I think we are seeing sort of incremental changes where you have young actresses now, like the lead actress in Gin, which was one of my favorite coming-of-age movies this year, who is playing like a Muslim girl who's basically sort of like figuring out her identity before she goes to college. And that was really a breakout role for that actress, Zoe Renee. But, you know, I would say There are more routes, especially because of the plethora of television roles that are available that maybe weren't, say, 10 years ago. That's another route. But it's still a road that exists.
Soraya McDonald is the culture critic for ESPN's The Undefeated. Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.